greater name than the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4 verse number 12, neither is there given in heaven any other name under heaven whereby men what? What's that next word? Must be saved. It is the name of Jesus Christ. And if you ever run up with some a scallywag out there that'll tell you there's another way into heaven other than through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, don't listen to him. He's telling you a lie. And that he is the only way. He's the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I'm telling you what, I love him today. I appreciate him being in my heart and in my life. Appreciate him being in the church that he lets me work in. I mean, it's just wonderful serving our dear Savior. If you've got a copy of God's Word today, turn with me to the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation this morning. And we'll be in the fourth chapter to start out with. We've got many places we're going to go in the New Testament primarily. Well, it'll be all in the New Testament because we're a New Testament church. And this message is toward the church today. Folks, take good courage. Brother Tim Anderson, be of good courage. Be of good courage, Brother Kim. Every one of you here, be of good courage today. If you're saved by God's grace, this is as bad as it's going to get for us, my friend. You say, wait a minute, it's going to get worse and worse. I'm talking about in this walk of life. This is as bad as it gets for us. And you say, well, there's wars and they're fighting everywhere. There's saber rattling all around the world. There always has been. There always will be. Well, preacher, there's a volcano erupting over there in Hawaii right now. Y'all seen any of that? It lava flowing down the street and engulfing little communities and villages and stuff. They've always been erupting. And you say, well, what about Matthew 24, about all these things that must come to pass? Brother, I don't look for those signs and wonders so much. I just want to be ready. But now I can tell you this. I can point. Let's just do this before we get to that. Turn with me to the book of Luke. I'll tell you exactly when he's coming. I mean, down to the hour. If you want to go to the book of Luke, chapter number, I believe it's in chapter number 12. Yeah, it's right there in chapter number 12. The Lord's coming back. And I'm going to put my finger on the exact hour. Brother Woody, can we do that? There's all kinds of people around the world making money, selling books, telling you when he's coming. All you got to do is download this or download that or pay me this or pay me that. It's in here, right down to the very hour. I won't stand for this reading, but we will for the next one. I'm doing this one in an obtuse or a facetious way. The Bible says in verse number 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh when? Here's the hour. At an hour. When you think not. There you go. You know, now you know exactly when he's coming. In an hour that you think not. Narrowed that down, didn't we, Brother John? Let's go and read our scriptures in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 4. I'd invite you to stand and give reverence to reading God's Word. Brother Kim and the deacons want to stay back just a little bit, and those that will be on the building committee, if you'll hang out just a little bit after the service today, just something we want to go over real quickly. So if you're on the building committee, let's do that. And then also don't forget, if you're part of the presbytery, be in the men's prayer room this evening at 4:30 for the examination of Brother Scott Wagner, and then for the following up with the ordination, be here. We were inviting in the entire congregation of Yadkin Valley Baptist Church. So if you're part of Calvary, we might need the space. If you want to set up in the choir loft and just bring your stuff with you, that'd be fine too. And we'll just welcome the folks from Yadkin Valley in here. And folks, it's our duty to pray for that man. Just as we're praying for Brother Jamie McGuire up at Perlier Baptist, we need to pray for that man. There's been many that's gone out of this church that's doing their labor in the community, and let's continue to lift up those. They're an outreach of us, so and we're all on the same team. We're not in competition one with another. But anyway, I want to read this today and just tell you what's next. In the prophetic calendar of events, I want to tell you what's next. You say, well, how can we know what's next? By the Word of God. On the grand scheme of things, as far as prophecy, Brother Kenny, there's just not a whole lot more in there to be unveiled. We know that the gospel would have to be preached unto every creature. Can we not do that now by means of modern media and the way we do things via internet and satellite and all the different imagery we got now? You can preach this message at Calvary Baptist Church and Brother Gerald using technology that you guys and Brother Keith and some of you IT guys work on. You can pipe that message all the way around the globe in just instantaneous access. No matter where they're at, all they need to do is log in. We've sent missionaries into the places of the bush and where there's been really no English-speaking people, but now they're training up natives to go in there. native missions are doing that. And I'm telling you, there's no greater missionary than a native missionary. A man gets saved on his own soil, maybe by an American missionary or whatever, but then goes back to his people in their native tongue, in their culture, and preaches to them Jesus. I'm telling you what. The next thing on the prophetic events of things to happen, it might surprise you. You say, are you going to call it what it is? Well, it's a rapture, if you will. It's a calling away, if you will. Some people don't like that word, Brother Kenny. They just don't like to use that word rapture. That really don't bother me if you like it or not. We're getting out of here one of these days. Call it what you want to. Put your own term on it. But I call it a rapture. I'm going to refer to that all through this message today. It's going to be a calling away of the saints of God. And I find that to be the next grand thing on the event, the prophetic timetable of God's calendar. I don't see a whole lot else. I know there's a last soul that has to be saved, and that might be here today. But Brother Kenny, it might have been last week. You know what I'm saying? It could have been whenever Danielle got saved last week. That might have been the last one. He says, son, go get your bride. We don't know when the last one. We don't know that hour. Let's just read this scripture here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. And revelation is a singular word. It's not revelations. It's revelation. And if your Bible says it's the revelation of St. John the Divine, that's not right. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you can find that in verse number 1 of the first chapter. But anyway, the Bible said, and after this... If you highlight or underline anything in your Bible, you should take notice of those first two words. He says, after this. You say, what's that relating to? Brother Johnny just had addressed the seven churches which were in Asia Minor. Am I right or wrong? Amen. Did he not go through Thyatira and Pergamos, and he went through all the way up through Philadelphia and Sardis, and he ended up in the church of Laodicea, and he distinctly addressed seven churches in Asia Minor, and then he comes to chapter number 4 and verse number 1, and it says, after this. So what's that? It's after the church age. So here we are. After this, speaking of John, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, second beast like a calf, the third beast, the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I'm going to stop reading right there. I'm going to ask Brother Christopher Shoemate to ask God to bless our scripture reading, and then you may be seated. I'm going to bring this message about... what's next? Brother Chris. Amen. As you're being seated, let me just quickly refer back to a few earlier scriptures, the writings of the Apostle Paul. And I'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 just for a second. I don't want to just take off here like a shotgun, but I want to kind of lead up to where we're going. And 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tells us a picture. Whenever I refer to a rapture, or a calling away of the saints, I'm referring to scriptures that allude to the fact that there's going to be a calling away of the saints of God. Now, everybody in here today is going to pass away one way or another. We're leaving this world. We were not meant to be here eternally. Just mark it down. That's just a given fact. I mean, it's just proof that we are not meant to be immortal in this body, but we are mortal. We're going to pass away. So I use these scriptures, and a lot of times us preachers that preach funerals will use these scriptures to tell people. Don't let your heart be troubled. And we'll use all these things. And they point to the time that if I go away, I will come again. And those kind of scriptures speak comfort to my heart. They speak comfort to your heart if you're one that's saved this morning. But the first place that I would refer will be back in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. And Brother Varun read it in our Sunday school hour, and not knowing what I was about ready to preach, that was the last scripture that was used before we left that Sunday school class, and then you followed up and tagged it up at the end. And it was just another confirmation in my heart about what God was doing today. In chapter number 4, verse number 13, it said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And you know what that means? That means these cemeteries are full of people out here, Brother Kenny. They've laid to rest, and they've preceded us in death, and they've gone on to their eternal reward. But let me tell you, if somebody died 100 years ago or 10 minutes ago, there's no advantage in Christ Jesus about getting to heaven, because the Bible says these words, and it's going to be instantaneous for them as it will be for us. The brethren, it said, "Brethren, concern them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And we'll get to that just a little while from now, but that's a long ways away. That's about 7 years away. Why? Because the Bible said that the second coming of Jesus Christ will not take place until 7 years after the rapture of the church, or the calling away of the saints of God. And it says this, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And I want you to hear this expressly. The Bible said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up," there's those words, "to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then it says these words, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So in this prophetic calendar of events, whenever I say what's next, I want to go ahead and take you to the same passage of scripture. It's still in the book of 1 Thessalonians, but it's down in verse number 2 of the 5th division. It said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night," which backs up what it said in chapter number 12 of the book of Luke, whenever I read that verse, that it's in an hour that we think not. The Bible even says that if the good man of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, that he would have watched, and he would have not suffered his house to be broken up. But he's not coming back down here to set up his earthly kingdom just yet. He's going to step out on a cloud, and he's going to call his bride away. That's evidenced in the allegories back in the Song of Solomon, whenever he would look at the bride and say, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Brother, he's going to get his bride one of these days. I've got a dear neighbor down the road from me, and I told this a little while back, and she was worried to death. And let me tell you, my friends, if I preach out of the book of the Revelation, it should not scare you. It should not even bother you. You should not even think twice, because I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 points today. And I don't get hung up whenever I said points. They'll be so fast you won't even know what I've done. But the first thing that's got to happen in this is that the church has got to be raptured out. So the church will be removed. The Bible tells about that. He addressed churches and churches and churches 7 times in the book of the Revelation from chapter 1 through 3. You see evidence very clearly that in these distinct churches, they were also representative of distinct church times. And I believe, Brother Tim, we are living in that Laodicean period of the church age. And brother, that is the last days, that perilous times will come, that men will become lovers of them themselves, and that they will become proud, boastful, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy. Everything that we just covered in our Sunday school lesson, and Brother Woody, we're right there, even at the door. So prophetically speaking, whenever I say, "Brother Joe, what's next?" The next thing that I see on the prophetic event of God's great big calendar at Troy, that he's going to come get the bride. And bless God, don't let that worry you, except that if you are lost and you're here, bless God, they're going to be a big pile of clothes sitting around. They're going to be clouds laying around. And you know, you find somebody sleeping. Maybe old Woody over here, and because he's on medicine, Woody falls asleep in here, and Woody's already starting to snore. Wouldn't that be hilarious, Brother Tim, if we just piled some clothes around in here and got Brother Scott back there somewhere to go, bah, bah, and Brother Woody's like, woke up, and then all of a sudden there's piles of clothes. What do you think? Where'd the church go? I got left behind. We laugh about that now, Brother Tim. That's exactly what's going to happen. There'll be somebody, Brother Derek, that's going to be sitting here whenever we're all gone. The Bible said there'll be two in the bed want to be gone. There'll be two in the field want to be gone. Brother Steve, there'll be one in an airplane in the co-pilot seat and the pilot might be gone. It's going to be that way. They'll be driving down the road and all of a sudden this unmanned vehicle, because that man was a child of God and now he's gone. Why? Because the first thing to happen, Miss Lynn, on God's prophetic timetable, is that the church is going to be removed. It's going to be raptured out of here, Brother King. That ought to excite you. But that neighbor that I talked about, she's so concerned and she's so worried, Brother Robbie. Why is she worried? She told me why she was worried. She said, I'm afraid. I said, what's wrong with you? Me and my compassionate heart, what's wrong with you? He said, did you say it that way? Probably. I hope I'll be a little more sensitive, a little more tender. What's the problem? And she went right into a tearful cry. I'm just not going to be able to buy and sell and trade. I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? She said, that if the Lord comes back, I'm not going to be able to buy and trade because I'm not taking that mark. I'm not going to take that mark of the beast that I've been hearing about. And she said, they've been talking about, they're putting chips in people's hands and doing all this stuff. And bless God, the technology is there to chip every single one of us. But bless God, I'm not taking the ark either. Bless God, I'm not going to have to worry about buying and selling and trading. I'm not going to have to worry about that, Brother Preston, because on the first cloud out, bless God, at the first sign of us leaving here, guess what? I'm out of here. Bless God, we're going to be removed because the church in that next calendar events is what's going to take place, Brother Gerald. Is we're out of here. Now, if that gives you a pause for concern, if that gives you any consternation of heart that you might be here and might have to entertain the idea of whether or not I want to get chipped or not, or whether or not I want to have the mark or not, or whether or not I'm going to be able to buy and sell or not, and maybe you are one of those doomsday preppers where you got yourself some kind of a little bunker somewhere and you've got 6 months of food and you've got MREs and you've got that water and you've got all this fuel cell and you've got everything that you need in there to be able to maintain life underground for a little while. Guess what? If that causes you problems, that you would go so far as to prepare for the doomsday or cataclysmic event. You said, I'm not prepped up for that. I'm prepped up for a nuclear holocaust. Robbie, you know what I'm prepped up for? I'm 50 years old. I'm prepped up for meeting Jesus. Bless God, the blood's been applied to my heart, and that's the only thing I'm worried about, standing before Him ready.
Amen, brother.
You said, you mean you don't have 6 months worth of food? No, if I had it, Macy would eat it. She's the only one that'll take food for work so she can save money, because it costs money to eat out every day and then eat the food before she gets to lunch. So now what am I going to do? Now I got to eat out. So brother, if you buy a bunch of food, it's going to spoil if you don't eat it. But the next thing, am I right or wrong, preachers? The next great thing going to be that the church is called out of here. Is that not the great, the next big thing on the prophetic calendar of God's events, is that He's going to have to call His bride out of here? That's what I find. So those that write down things, write down that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, chapter number 5, 1 Thessalonians verse number 2. 1 Corinthians, if you were to look there in chapter number 15, this is, again, a scripture that we use a lot of times at funerals. I'm telling you what, I'm glad for the day that there won't be any more funerals.
Amen.
And after October, I'll be glad when there's no more weddings. Except that I'll be a part of one. The wedding supper, where the bride is taken out of here. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15, he says these words, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Let me tell you something really quickly on this. If somebody tells you they can know the date, the hour, the third Thursday of the month of 2024, the Lord's coming back and everything. Let me tell you, watch that man.
Yes.
Note that man.
Yes.
And get away from him. He's telling you a lie. He's trying to get your money. He's trying to get popular. He's trying to gain something. And brother, every time they do that, they'll set another date after that passes their book date. Now write books. I mean, Brother Woody, they'll come in here. They'll change the scriptures to suit their own need. And that's why the Bible's being rewritten. It's Satan's subtle attempt, but it's all about the money. Why? Because the King James Bible is not copyrighted work. Anybody can print one. If you want to print one, print one. But they'll change a few words and they'll get a new version on that way they can make money and get rich off of it. Brother, let me tell you, these things, that are written and set firm dates, Brother Kenny, are that they might sell you materials. Yeah. And once they sell you that and it passes that date of their prediction, what do they do then? They'll line up something to the astrological signs. They'll line up something to the Word of God. And then they'll say, oh, we missed it by this. And they'll set another date to sell you more fresh materials. Yeah. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. Some things are just mysterious, Brother John. The time of Jacob's troubles is a mystery to me. I'm telling you, Brother Derek, it's a mystery. There's a lot of mysteries in here. And if you know it all, get with me after a while. I want to debunk that because you don't know it all. Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What's that, Brother Tam? It says we're leaving here one day. And bless God, we are going to leave here one day. The church is on her way out of here. That's the next thing. John said, and I looked. And after this, I looked and I saw a throne. I preached that message about the rainbow two or three times around here. I'm not going to hit it today except to say this. Did you see the bow around this throne? What color was it? It was only green. What did the green in symbology of biblical perspective take? What is green? That is eternal. That is the eternal presence of Almighty God. If you looked at the red, the yellow, the orange, and we went through the signs and the colors of the rainbow, the one that we see around the throne is only green. Why? Because it's only eternity then, brother. It's all glory. It's all God at that point. But anyway, I give you a whole bunch of stuff, and we can go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 27, Matthew 24, 31. And there's many other places that talks about the church getting out of here, and the church will be removed. She's out of here, my friends. Mark her down. When the last soul saved and that completes the bride of Christ, he's going to go get his bride. I promise you that. So let's go back to the book of the Revelation again. Are y'all all right this morning? All right. Now, I'm not going to expressly preach in one chapter of the book of the Revelation, except that I would say that there was a book that was in heaven, a scroll. Nobody was found worthy to loosen the seals on that place, on that book, except one. And John said that he looked, and he said, behold, there was no man that was worthy to loosen the seals. But he said, then I looked, and I saw a lamb as had been slain. Who was that? That's none other than Jesus Christ. And it said, and I'm in chapter number 5 there, if you were to follow on over there with me. And then it goes on down. It said that in verse number 6, the lamb had been slain. And this is the next thing as I'm about ready to go through this in chapter number 6, 7, 8, 9 on through there is this. The little lady that would say, I'm scared. If you're here today and you would say, I'm scared concerning these end of time events, that scares me. It bothers me, and I wish you wouldn't preach on it, because now my kids are going to be scared. And if my kids are scared and I don't have the answer to give my kids, that's going to scare them, because they don't even know that mama knows. I don't know the answer. Daddy don't know the answer. Brother, you don't have to fear the book of the Revelation. You just don't have to. But the next thing that's about to take place after the church is raptured is that chaos is going to be released upon this earth. You mark it down. And I can't even tell you the way that chaos. Have you ever seen hailstones as big as a softball? I saw them as big as grapefruit. When I was stationed in South Dakota, they did several $1 billion of damage to the Air Force base where I was stationed at. They busted the windshield out of every car on the base. My windshield was busted out. It looked like somebody took a ball peen hammer to my car and beat that thing all over. Not just little bitty dings, Brother Woody. I'm talking about busting sunroof out of the vehicles. I mean, it was terrible. But brother, can you imagine hailstones the size of a bag of fertilizer? Read your book, Brother Woody. I'm talking about the size of a bag of feed, brother, falling from the sky. I'm talking about men and women running, Brother John, wanting the mountains to fall on, wanting some rocks to fall on. Why? Because they were fleeing. Death was fleeing from them. They wanted to die. How about the moon turning to blood? How about reaching under your bottled water dispenser, grabbing you a bottle of crystal clear Evian? And Miss Dot, you look at that, and man, you can't wait to open that up. But as soon as you break the seal, Brother Tim, that thing turns to blood red. That's the kind of thing. Chaos is going to be released upon this earth. But bless God, Brother Kenny, you don't have to be here, because you can be saved and you can be out of here when that takes place. It does not have to worry you. I got bottled water in my refrigerator. I got a dispenser that runs through one of them really good Lowe's filters. You'll go there and you'll push that button, Brother John, and out will come blood. You said, is that in the book? It's in the book. Brother Woody, can you imagine beasts that have an ability to sting you, but they won't kill you, but they'll cause sores, brother, that's going to last you for 4 months? Can you imagine, Brother Tam, having a festering wound that would not heal, that some insect or some device gave you that, brother, it taunted you and hurt you and harmed you to the point that, brother, you would have killed yourself if that weren't even possible. Chaos is coming. Chaos is going to be released on this. It's not just the bugs, and it's not just those things. I mean, bless God, if you'll read, there's plagues, and the water will turn to blood. There's going to be war and death and destruction, all kinds of carnage. But death is going to flee, Robbie. They're going to want to die and can't. Death will flee from them. I'm telling you what, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. That would scare me. If I was unsaved, if I was not washed in the blood of the Lamb, Brother Ken, I would get saved. Why? Because then you bring into all these other things. You'll get to experience that. I've read them. I read them as a fiction work. If you've read them, so be it. They're fiction. But anybody ever heard the Left Behind series of books by Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye? Y'all read them. There are countless of billions of people getting saved during the tribulation period or the great tribulation period. Let me tell you, Rob, you better be careful with that, because we live right in the rusty buckle of the Bible Belt. Tam mentioned it. We're still here. Oh, it's coming in on us. We see all this stuff afar off, but brother, it's getting closer to home every time you turn your TV on. It's all around us. But yes, the church will be raptured out, and there's going to be chaos released on the earth. And I try not to scare anybody with that. I remember whenever Macy got saved, we were at DeHart Baptist Church many years ago, and I preached a whole message in the dark. Cut off every light in the church and put one light on. And the only light in here was on what I had termed as the book of life. And I preached the message out of the book of the Revelation. And it scared some people that night. And it was namely this, brother. Are you going to be the one sneaking in there to see if your name's in that book? Is your name really in the book of life? Now listen, I'm not one about scaring people. And if this end of time event scares you, scares your children, get with me later. I'm not trying to scare anybody. But I'm telling you what, chaos is going to be released upon this earth. You see, the first 3.5 years, Brother Kenny, they're going to think everything's good. Got rid of all them hypocrites. All them people we didn't care about anyway. They're all out of here, bless God. They're going to think everything's okay for the first 3.5 years, my friend. But then what happens? That man that is the Antichrist will set himself up, and then everybody going to look to him. Everybody going to flock to him, Brother John. But I'm telling you what, then comes the time of Jacob's troubles. Then comes the great wrath of God pouring out on this whole place. You said, that scares me, preacher. Don't scare me at all. Why? Because I ain't going to be here. Chris, you can have my car. I don't need it anymore. Go with me over the book of the Revelation just a minute. Chapter number 19. Read in there about how the sun's going to heat herself up. I saw some of y'all back in here fanning because it's hot in here. We've had an air conditioner on the blink, and Brother Danny's worked on it and worked or had it worked on. And can you imagine that the sun heating herself up, Brother Kenny, hotter than it's ever been before? I mean, enough to scorch the clothes off people's back. It's in the book. It's in there, Brother Kenny. This right here ought to make every dried up Baptist, Brother Danny, shout. I told you the first thing on the next thing on the calendar of events will be that the church will be raptured. And then I said that chaos would be released upon this. And then I've turned you to chapter number 19. Do you have any idea what that might be, Brother Kenny? How about Christ's return? How about that? You said, well, I thought he'd come back at the beginning of the, he's called us out. He's not coming back down here to war and make war. He's not coming back down here to purge this thing until you get over to chapter number 19. And brother, you see him in chapter number 19. And I'm telling you what, my friend, this ought to make us excited, bless God, because there's something that's getting ready to happen. The Bible said in verse number 11 of that 19th chapter, he said, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. Let me tell you, this is not that pale horse and that pale rider we saw earlier, bless God. This is the one that's riding. That's the faithful, true witness. witness. This is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. And bless God, at this particular time, God's had enough. God's about ready to wrap this thing up. And just as the Apostle Paul said, I'm now ready. Bless God, Jesus Christ is now ready. And bless God, he's coming back, and he's not coming back to make people feel good about their sins. He's not coming back down here to make old earth anything other than what she is. She's about to be destroyed. Everything as it ever was is going to be made new, bless God. You'll see that in a little while too if we were to get over in chapter number 21. But here we are. He said, I saw a heaven open and a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful. Does your Bible have that F capitalized? Hey man, why is it capitalized? When you capitalize a name or something in the Bible, what's that mean? I bless God. What is that? That becomes something that you need to pay attention to. Don't just read past it. We capitalize names. We capitalize places. We capitalize these because they mean something to us. And here's what it said. And the faithful. And here's another one. It's capitalized a T on that word true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name shall be called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread at the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise be unto God. Whenever the church is called home and the chaos is relieved, bless God, Christ then can come back. And bless God, he can war and make war. And bless God, Brother Kenny, we're out of here one of these days. When that takes place, my friend, my Savior's coming back one day, and he's not coming back to be mocked. He's not coming back to be scourged. He's not coming back to be made fun of. He's not coming back to be spat upon. He's not coming back, Brother John, but for no other reason but to set this thing right as it should have been from the beginning. I'm telling you what, my friends, we ought to get excited about these things. This is a time like none other. I mean, bless God, when Christ comes back, guess what? He didn't say he was coming back alone. What was he coming back? Go back and read that little verse in there. And the Bible said in verse number 14, that here comes Brother Kenny Anderson. Yes. And right there behind him, Brother Tim saying, giddy up, old chap. Yes. Giddy up, old chap. Yes. And bless God, we're coming back to make war. Yes. Come on, old paint. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hey, Brother John. Yes, sir. Come on, Trigger. Amen. Come on. Come on, old paint, get up. Woo! Brother, I don't know what you're going to name yours. My kayak is named Visitation. I put it right on the side. My niece made me two things to get on the side that said Visitation. If you ever wonder where I'm at when a church event's going on, just ask Cindy. She'll probably say it's out on Visitation. Yeah. Robbie's getting one. He said, mine's going to be called Knocking on Doors. He said, because if you're on Visitation, I'm going to be knocking on doors. Brother, this ought to excite us.
Amen.
I don't know what my horse will be called. The only thing I know is I'm coming back according to that 14th verse with our Lord and Savior. You said, what's going to happen? We're going to get to that in about 2 points from now. What's going to happen is this, and I'll get there in just a second. But if you'll look, after Christ has returned and there's war and he's making war, and that old serpent, chapter number 20, if you will read down through there, verse number 1, down through that, that old slew-foot beast is chained for 1,000 years. You know what happened, Brother Jody? Calm is restored. The lion and the lamb, what do? They lay down together. Yeah, that's what it says. Calm is restored. Going to be countless of generations of people born. Oh, yeah, there'll be people born during that 1,000-year reign. People refer to that as a millennial reign. I've had people differ with me on that, saying the same as rapture's not in there, millennial's not. Millennial just means 1,000, okay? Don't fall at me if I use the millennial reign of Christ and you say, well, it ain't in there. It is. It's a millennial. It's a 1,000-year period where we will rule and reign with Christ Jesus. Calm will be restored. Right now, we don't know calm. We don't. The Bible even said that they killed the Prince of Peace. And they did. They crucified our dear Savior. But brother, he said, I come not to make peace, but to cause division. And boy, has he ever caused a divide. Bless God, you better side up. You better figure out whose side you're on. Because that great divide is between good and evil. Between righteousness and holiness and what is just and honorable in the sight of God and what is not. Which side are you on today? Which side are we choosing? But calm will be restored. Get ready. Brother Ken, you just about got excited a while ago. This right here should help you a little bit. Chapter number 22. Sin has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Hell has been defeated. Satan has been chained and thrown in the bottomless pit to never to see the nations again, never to hurt us anymore. Can you imagine a day when there's no more temptation? Can you imagine a day where there's no more go ahead and do it, nobody knows? Can you imagine a day when there's no more ill words? No more cross division among you and your spouse, and no more sideways conversations where you just don't know where this one's quite going to take you. But you want that. You said it, but you want it back because you shouldn't have said it to start with. Can't get that back. It's already out there. It's one of those things, Brother Jody, you like to undo that, but you can't. All that stuff's behind us. Ushers in a time. And I want you to see this in chapter number 22. The Bible says, verse number 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And I'm just going to say this, Chris, you're always in my firing line. I sit where Preston sits last week, and I believe it was one of these other preachers talking about what was going to take place. And it may have been your daddy. I don't remember who it was. And talked about that crystal river. And I said, bless God, I'm going fishing in that river. I promise you, I'm going to fish in that river. Chris said, look for me by that tree. Did you not say that? What's he going to be? He going to be over there eating bananas. And I don't know what all's on. What's on that tree? Peaches, apples. Chris said, whatever my heart's desire is. Can you imagine, though? Just wait by the river over on that beautiful shore. Wait by the river. We won't do that. In the midst of it, there's the tree. Verse number 3, sin, there shall be no more curse. No more curse. Can you imagine a land with no curse? Brother John, it goes back to the original Eden, where there's no more curse. Where we could eat and not gain weight. Where there was no hurt, no harm, no division, no sin. Because the Bible said there was no more curse. And it said, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And I want you to hear verse number 5. After I said the church is raptured and chaos is released upon all earth, Christ returns, and then that calm would be restored. I want you to see this, that Christ reigns. Look what it says in this fifth verse. And there shall be no more night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For what is it? What lights that fair city if there's no need of all these candles and no sun or anything? The Bible says, for the Lord God giveth them light. And what happens? They shall reign ever and ever and ever and ever. And brother, there's no more cancer, no more treatments, no more infusions, no more standing over a casket, no more death. Robbie, no more missing your mama, no more dying, no more. Troy, it's all gone. Why? Because it was all swallowed up in victory, Brother Joe. It was swallowed up in the victory, which is Jesus Christ. He came to defeat death, hell, and the grave. It which brings to my mind the other scriptures that we use. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Praise God, they're swallowed up in victory with Jesus Christ. And he will reign forevermore and evermore and evermore.
Yes.
Brother Scott, come. Miss Macy, come. Get to the instruments. But I want to ask you this. Does this kind of worry you a little bit? Does it cause any kind of a heart to just decide, I don't know, preacher, what's going on? But it does bother me a little bit that I'm going to have to undergo some of that stuff and that I'm going to have to face this taking the mark or not. My God, Brother Chris, if you're saved by God's grace, and I believe that you are, you won't have to worry about that.
Amen.
If I had children that were lost, I'd go to them today and I'd say, "Honey, you need to consider that." If I had a wife that was lost, I'd be telling her right now, "Honey, you better consider the consequences of not being saved." Brother Tim, you got grandkids, you ought to call them up and say, "Honey, I just want to tell you, Papa loves you. And according to God's word, not according to my preacher, don't tell them what Preacher Kenny says or Preacher Mark says. Tell them what God's word says." Say, "According to God's word, man, God, there's going to come a time whenever the church is going to be taken out of here and chaos is going to be released. And, man, God, I don't want you to have to undergo the things that's going to take place in that time. So don't go down that road. Why don't you trust me? The Bible says that you can be born again."
Amen.
I'd go to him. I'd go to him swiftly. Brother Scott, I'd get real close to him and say, "Can we talk just one-on-one?" "Yeah, let me log off." "Yeah, log off." "Well, let me turn my channel down." "No, turn it off. This is of utmost importance. I don't want to just talk to you while the TV's blaring. I don't want to talk to you while you're scrolling through your pages. I want to talk to you one-on-one. I want you to know something. The Lord loves you. He died for me. And I know. My God, there's nothing ever happened to me like him. And I know that he lives inside of me. And Derek, I just want to talk to you. Daddy, I just want to talk to you and tell you that the Lord loves you. Oh, he loves me enough. He thought I was to die for. But he also thought the same thing about you. Consider this, that Christ is going to come get his bride one day." I skipped right over that marriage supper. That's a shouting sermon right there all day long. But there's going to be a time when he's going to go get his bride. And he himself is going to gird his loins. He's going to serve us up at that marriage supper. And I'm going to be there. And I want you to be there. I want you to consider this, that if you die lost, everything from Revelation chapter 4 throughout, you're going to have to understand what I'm talking about. It's going to be terrible. As all over the house of God, we stand this morning. I want you to know what's next. The next thing on God's prophetic timeline is he comes and gets us. Is that right? Am I right, preachers, Brother Chris? Do you find anything else needs to happen? Does something else need to take place that I've not read? Brother Rob, you were a deacon in there where you come from. Anything else? Brother Brian, you study the Word of God. Ryan? Brother John, you're a student of the Word. Can you find anything else that needs to take place, Brother Derek? Brother Varun, Brother Danny, you're a deacon here. Is there something else that needs to take place? Then what's preventing him from coming other than his infinite mercy? I'm telling you what, he is merciful. He is just. He is holy. The Bible said he is long-suffering. What's long-suffering, preacher? He's patient with us. He's so patient with us. Brother Joe, he said he was so patient or long-suffering that he was not even willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And the Bible said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." What's this all about? It's warning somebody that better get ready. Better be ready. "For such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man doth come." Brother Scott, what have you got?